rbnlive.com.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
All right, folks, we're back. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Monday, the 28th. It's Memorial Day of May 2007. State and local governments this week resumed a push to lobby Congress for far-reaching changes on two different fronts, gaining the ability to impose sales taxes on net shopping and being able to levy new monthly taxes on DSL and other connections. Ah, they always want their pound of flesh, don't they? One senator is even predicting taxes on emails. Now, what's new on this? State and local governments have resumed a push to lobby Congress to impose sales taxes on net shopping and to levy new monthly taxes on internet connections. Bottom line, states and municipalities are frequently barred by the Fed from collecting both access and sales taxes, but those taxes could yield billions of dollars in a new revenue by next year. How about we just shrink down the size of government and quit looking for so much money. At the moment, states and municipalities are frequently barred by the federal law from collecting both access and sales taxes, but they're hoping for their new lobbying effort, coordinated by groups including the National Governors Association, will pay off by permitting them to collect billions of dollars in new revenue by next year. If that doesn't happen, other taxes may zoom upward instead, said Senator Michael Enzi, a Wyoming Republican, at a Senate hearing on Wednesday. Are we implicitly blessing a situation where states are forced to raise other taxes, such as income or property taxes, to offset the growing loss of sales tax revenue? I want to avoid that. Hey, Enzi, I got a flash for you here. Gosh, I almost said the D-head word. You worried about sales taxes? How about people having well-paying jobs? How about, Mr. Enzi, that you look at 80% of the manufacturing jobs have been shipped off to low-wage countries so they can manufacture, and I'm sure you're getting kickbacks being a Republican from greedy corporations. If not, then you're just stupid. But at any rate, why don't we talk about tax bases? Why don't you call up Governor Granholm up there in Michigan right now, and why don't you talk to her about state taxes? Oh, that's right. The auto company's flat on their keister. They've got almost a $1 billion deficit in the state budget, but they're going to try to find ways to deal with it. I haven't heard her talking about taxing the internet or taxing this or taxing that. And just because you slobs out there feel that you need more money because you've already wasted too much and you've got tax bills or bills you've got to pay and you've got to do it through taxes and raise revenues, Mr. Enzi, get a life. Or better still, get out your compass, look on it where it points N for north, and go into the deep woods of Canada, never to be seen or heard from again. That's my suggestion. At any rate, a flurry of proposals that pro-tax advocates advanced this week push in that direction. On Tuesday, Enzi introduced a bill that would usher in mandatory sales tax collections for internet purchases. Second, during a House of Representatives hearing the same day, politicians weighed whether to let a temporary ban on net access tax collapse when it expires on November 1st. A House backer of another pro-sales tax bill said this week to expect a final version by July. The independent and sovereign authority of the states to develop their own... do they sound disgusting when they want something? The independent and sovereign authority of states to develop their own revenue systems is a basic tenet of self-government of our federal system, according to David Quam, Director of Federal Relations at the National Governors Association. All right. Mr. Enzi, I was serious about looking on your compass. You're probably one of those ring knockers anyhow, so you understand the 4 points of the compass. Find the one that says north, start walking, and don't ever come back. We'll be back right after this short break.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, Clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free...
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We are back. Folks, this network is moving here in, let me see, the date today is the 28th. We got to be out of Dodge by the 30th of next month. Let me see, 30 days, Harris, September, June. Oh, that's right. June only has 30 days next month. Yeah, we got to be out by the end of June, which means we're still doing a pledge drive. This was unexpected. Not unexpected with the people that we have dealt with on this building, but you didn't know that. But at any rate, we are doing a pledge drive. We have to move the network. And if you're enjoying this programming today, obviously you're non-participants because you're not calling today, but that's okay because I want to get into some heavy-duty stuff that's going to take me some time. So you missed your chance. At any rate, we are doing a pledge drive for this network. I don't want to go back through all the reasoning and the reasons why we're doing this pledge drive because if you notice something, we didn't do a pledge drive for a long, long time. And because we are a commercially formatted network, no, we don't have the big advertising dollars out there of the corporate world. We generate our ad revenue here from small businesses. And we ask that you support our advertisers. You know, before you go out and purchase in any place else, listen to the network, listen to what's being advertised, and take advantage of it. They would greatly appreciate it, and so would we. But without going into a lot of boring detail that you've heard before, I'll spare you that today on this Memorial Day. Suffice it to say, and if you're enjoying yourself, maybe even half in the bag, good. Now's a good time to pick up the phone at 800-724-2719 and step up to the plate. Take a swing. Take a swing for freedom, folks. It ain't free. Boy, you betcha it ain't. Costs us about $600,000 to run this network a year. That's a lot of advertising from small businesses. That's a lot of product sales. I don't care whether it's gold or silver or whatever, which, by the way, the gold and silver market has been in the absolute dumpster since January of this year. So you might as well say we cut out that revenue stream because it just ain't happening. Gold is not moving up fast enough to panic people into buying. I'm sorry to say that, but that's the mentality. Rather than buying it low, knowing full well it's going to go through the roof one fine day and probably at the very minimum triple their investment, let alone quadruple or sextuple or whatever. That's human nature. So with gold and silver sales down across the board, not just here, I mean across the board with everybody in this country, and product sales, that's the only thing remaining. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. Buy a Berkey. Buy an Aaronizer. Buy some books. Buy some videos. Or how about just opening up your wallet today while you're sitting there enjoying your family? Give us a call and make a nice donation. Sounds like a plan to me. 800-724-2719. Or if you'd like to do it anonymously, which is just fine. We always like to thank the people that are in support of us. But if you want to be an anonymous donor, that's fine also. You can go up to republicbroadcasting.org, and you can make a PayPal donation or drop a check or money order or FRNs wrapped in foil. As I've said, we don't care here. To Republic Broadcasting Network, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And the good news is we're moving into a smaller building, but it is actually maximizing the spaces available. It's actually 1,200 square feet less than this place, but we are going to have just as much usable space, which has been an absolute godsend. And plus, the rent's going to be $1,000 less a month. So I am looking at all different ways to cut our expenses, our overhead here at this network. We can't do it without people. I can't fire Ken here because that means I'd have to run a board and do a show at the same time. I can barely do a show some days because I have all this other stuff to do. You know, I mean, a lot of talk show hosts, I mean, all the talk show hosts on this network, folks, I mean, they get up and they do a show. That's the beginning and the end of their responsibility, just do a crackerjack show and we get on with it. On the other hand, I get to do 2 hours a day, and I've got to run a network besides that. And the one problem has been, I mean, the economy has been in the absolute dumpster. I mean, it started last February, and it started chugging and cranking downwards in October. And we figured, well, Christmas is coming up. Maybe people are saving their money for Christmas. And generally, after Christmas, going into January, things start to pick up. I start talking to business people that deal with larger businesses, and they're telling me business is down. So I thought, okay, so it's not just us. It's the business climate out there itself. And I expected it to pick up in January. Didn't happen. February, March, and then we're staring at April. Tax day. Everybody gets kind of funny around that time. And yet, generally after April 15th, they find out they're not screwed as bad from the federal government as they thought they were, or they've got a refund check coming back. But none of that happened this year. We're at the end of May, and it's been crappy since last February of 2006. So, folks, when I'm serious about when we do this pledge drive, we're not asking just to pass the plate because we can. We're doing it because we have to. All right? So if you enjoy Rick Adams or Michael Collins Piper or myself or anybody on this network, did I forget to mention the guy that's before me? What's his name? Michael Herzig, Hoghead, something like that. No, I'm just joking. I know he's listening today. Mike Herzog, Mark Dankoff in the mornings, Frank Whalen overnight, any of these programs. I mean, Rick Adams, Steady Eddie, does a show every day. Folks, we need your support. You want to keep hearing these programs? Give us a call. And as soon as we get back on track here, get the move made and downsize and cut corners where we need, we'll keep plugging along. But I mean, this is not a do-or-die situation. I don't want to get up on the air and scare you and say, oh, well, we're not going to be on the air next week if you don't send in your pledges today. Maybe I should try that, but that's not honest. But we are a couple of months down on our bills due to the hack job that was done to us back in January. Everybody knows about that one. There was more to that than met the eye, and I got behind the scenes, talked to individuals, found out the parties responsible, how it came about, how AJ, old Alex Jones, went off the deep end on me, and how I went off on him. And, well, we've been talking, so everything's cool there. Everything's back on track. The Patriot community is not eating itself here. But we are a couple of months down, and we've got to make up those deficits, and we've got to do it right away. So with your help, your blessing, your support, your generosity, your wisdom in promoting that which is good, give us a call at 800-724-2719. Sandra is here today. Julie's not. She took the day off. But give Sandra a call today. Shock her. Say, yeah, I'll put a grand on my credit card. And folks, there's people listening to this broadcast out there that, well, to me, it's bags full of money. You're rich. You know, rich in this country, by the way, rich, you can go to Vegas on a weekend and lose. Wealthy is you can buy Vegas. Okay, that's wealthy. There's a little difference between being rich and being wealthy. But, folks, if you're saving it for a rainy day, look up. The clouds are forming. Give us a call, please. 800-724-2719. Jerry Corsi, which has subbed for me on this program before, writes for WorldNet Daily. Good writer also. He was just, I do believe, on CNN. I don't know the program. It could have been Lou Dobbs. But at any rate, he's weighed in on this deal about Bush on his May 9th signature for this presidential directive. He said President Bush, without so much as issuing a press statement on May 9th, signed a directive that granted near-dictatorial powers to the office of the president in the event of a national emergency declared by the president. The National Security and Homeland Security Presidential Directive, with a dual designation of NSPD 51 as a National Security Presidential Directive and the HSPD 20 as a Homeland Security Presidential Directive, establishes under the office of the president a new National Continuity Coordinator. That job, as the document describes, is to make plans for national essential functions of all federal, state, local, territorial, and tribal governments, as well as private sector organizations to continue functioning under the president's directives in the event of a national emergency. Now, the directive loosely defines catastrophic emergency as any incident, regardless of location, that results in extraordinary levels of mass casualties, damage, or disruption severely affecting the U.S. population, infrastructure, environment, economy, or the government functions. Didn't they just describe themselves? All right, let's send them some handcuffs and they can cuff themselves up today. When the president determines a catastrophic emergency has occurred, the president can take over all government functions and direct all private sector activities to ensure we will emerge from the emergency with an enduring constitutional government. Now, there's a laugh. Isn't this the same guy that in the Oval Office witnessed and reported by Capitol Hill Blue, Thompson? Yeah, the Constitution's just a GD piece of paper. So I am sure that he's going to make sure that the activities to ensure we will emerge from the emergency with an enduring constitutional government. Translated in layman's terms, when the president determines a national emergency has occurred, the president can declare to the office of the presidency powers usually assumed by dictators to direct any and all government and business activities until the emergency is declared over. Ironically, the directive sees no contradiction in the assumption of dictatorial powers by the president with the goal of maintaining constitutional continuity through an emergency. The directive specifies the assistant to the president for Homeland Security and counterterrorism will be designated as the National Continuity Coordinator. What kind of national continuity? At least they could have come up with a better term than that. At any rate, more on this subject, and I'll get Edwin Vieira's take on this. He calls it the Kakistocracy exposes its hand. I'll learn to say the word.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Further established in the Continuity Policy Coordination Committee, it's the CPCC, if anybody's paying attention, chaired by Senior Director from Homeland Security Council staff, designated by the National Continuity Coordinator to be the main day-to-day forum for such policy coordination. Currently, the Assistant to the President for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism is Francis Fragos Townsend. Townsend spent 13 years in the Justice Department before moving to the U.S. Coast Guard, where she serves as an assistant commander for intelligence. She is a White House staff member in the executive office of the president, who also chairs the Homeland Security Council, which is a counterpart to the National Security Council, reports directly to the president. Now that we got all that spider webbing out of the way, the directive issued May 9th makes no attempt to reconcile the powers created there for the National Continuity Coordinator with the National Emergency Act, as specified by U.S. Code Title 15, Chapter 34, Subchapter 2, Section 1621. The National Emergency Act allows that the President may declare a national emergency, but requires that such proclamation shall immediately be transmitted to the Congress and published in the Federal Register. Now, a Congressional Research Service study noted that under the National Emergency Act, the President may seize property organize and control the means of production, seize commodities, assign military forces abroad, institute martial law, seize and control all transportation and communications, regulate the operation of private enterprise, restrict travel, and in a variety of ways, various ways, control the lives of the United States citizens. Now, the CRS study notes that the National Emergency Act sets up Congress as the balanced, empowered to modify, rescind, or render dormant such delegated emergency authority if Congress believes the president has acted inappropriately. But guess what? That ain't going to happen. The NSPD 51 and the HSPD 20 appears to supersede the National Emergency Act by creating the new position of National Continuity Coordinator without any specific act of Congress authorizing the position. The two directives also make no reference whatsoever to Congress anywhere. The language on the May 9th directive appears to negate any requirement that the president submit to Congress a determination that the national emergency exists, suggesting instead that the powers of the executive order can be implemented without any congressional approval or oversight. Homeland Security spokesman Russ Nockey affirmed that the Homeland Security Department will be implementing the requirements of the NSPD 51 and the HSPD 20 under Townsend's direction. The White House had no comment. I think they've said a mouthful, don't you? You know, this guy, you know, Congress is just as complicit in this power grab to Bush. Why did they cede the power to the president for interventional type wars when he deems it necessary? In other words, there doesn't have to be an approval by Congress for an act of war or to declare war. Yeah, they're just there just to fund whatever the president wants to do, as we just witnessed with this funding bill that went through for, you know, all the money that the Iraq incursion, I mean, I'm sorry, the Iraq excursion is producing, all the deficits, all the money that it's taking to run this thing. Ah, but not to worry. Hey, in that thing, didn't they just vote to up the minimum wage to, what, 7 1/4 to be implemented over 2 years? So if you've got grandma that's working in Mickey D's that she can beat the Mexicans off for the job, don't worry. She's getting a raise. So she can buy a better brand of dog food that's not shipped in from China to eat, I guess. You know, in this country, we never used to talk about living wages. There were low-paying jobs out there until you smartened up and you got a better-paying job. Now the good-paying jobs are gone. The middle class has been wiped out because 75 to 80% of the manufacturing jobs, gone. See ya, adios. Replaced by service sector jobs that, well, now that we have 35 to 40 million illegal aliens in this country, hey, don't worry about it. That's why President Bush reminded everybody that this amnesty, I'm sorry, he didn't call it that. He called it the... Yeah, I'm not even going to go there. Not today. I'm in a good mood. I'm not even going to go there today. But at any rate, if you've been paying attention to what the president has been saying, that these people, these illegals in this country, are necessary for the national economy. Now, why do you think that? Because there's not enough unemployed Americans in this country? Because corporations would much rather hire people that they don't have to give benefits to and really don't have to give them a living wage? Because after all, 50 Mexicans in a house... Well, they can bring up an income that two people that used to pay their mortgages and their car payments and send a kid off to school and pay for dental bills and whatever else. Eh, don't worry about it. We'll have 50 Mexicans living in a house, and don't worry, there'll be enough labor force in this country to do any job necessary. I mean, that is where it is at, folks. That's the reality of it. That's why they needed this amnesty bill. It's not yet passed. But it, for all indications to me, it looks like they are going to do it. They're going to do it. I'm still wondering, if there is not a way, short of congressional action, that this guy cannot be excused from the White House, put in a set of cuffs, and stand trial for treason in this country. Because that is exactly, not kind of, sort of, not coming close... Not it appears or it looks like. No, this man has committed treason against this country, and he's still declaring himself to be president of the United States. I want to know if there's a way to get to this guy, throw his little butt in the box, and throw away the key. put them in jail so far, you'd have to pump air and sunshine into them. And that's if we're in a good mood. We'll take the break here, be back on the other side. I want to get into Dr. Edwin's Vieira take on this new presidential directive.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today, because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
I didn't give you a thumbs up, did I? before I get into the Edwin Vieira piece, Henry Lamb has come on board with the NAFTA superhighway. And I'm quoting his article. Starts out, there's absolutely no U.S. government plan for a NAFTA superhighway of any sort. And that's according to David Bonagian, an assistant secretary of commerce, in reply to a reporter's question. The article also quotes Senator Kit Bond, a Republican out of Missouri, as saying that the notion of a NAFTA superhighway is based on unfounded theories with no credence. If these two gentlemen are correct, it will come as a great surprise to the North America Super Corridor Coalition, the Texas Department of Transportation, the city of Fort Worth, and nearly two dozen other major sponsors of a national conference Moving North America Forward, or Super Corridors, they promote. The conference on May 30th to June 1 is designed to move the Super Corridors project forward. Of course, these two gentlemen are not correct. Now, the NASCO boasts that it received millions in grants from the federal government, and TxDOT has been notified that it is a federal highway funding is in jeopardy if the state's legislature two-year moratorium on toll road construction is not overturned. The federal government is definitely involved in the creation of NAFTA super corridors, but at an arm's length, sufficient to have plausible deniability. The federal government can say that NASCO event is a private conference because NASCO is a private, not-for-profit organization. But is it really? Its members in three countries include city, county, and state governments, as well as private industries that pay up to $50,000 per year in membership fees. Most attendees to the conference will charge the $375 registration fee and the $200 plus per night hotel bill to an expense account paid for by guess who? That's right, the taxpayers. Now, Bonagian and Bond should attend the conference and then tell the American people who is promoting NAFTA super corridors, if it's not the federal government, and that the unfounded theories are advancing toward reality every day. NASCO's conference is not only not the only conference happening in Texas. 6 weeks after NASCO, their elite go home. Grassroots leaders from around the nation will gather a few miles down the road in Dallas. They will pay their own registration fees and hotel bills. They are not an expense account. The people who attend the Freedom 21 National Conference are working people who want to stop the integration of Mexico, Canada, the United States into the North American community. Now, perhaps Bonagian and Bond should attend the conference. They could discover what people who pay their salaries really think. Now, the NAFTA super corridors are but a part of the much broader agenda that seeks to create a North American community. This goal is also denied by government officials, even while government employees from Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. meet daily in working groups to harmonize rules and regulations that will integrate the three nations. The current immigration bill being debated in Congress contains many of the integration principles set forth in the Council on Foreign Relations report, Building a North American Community. By the way, you can go to the CFR website and read it for yourself. This concept has neither been debated nor approved by Congress. Still, many of the recommendations contained in the document are being implemented as elements of separate legislation or administratively by the executive branch. Representative Virgil Goody, Republican out of Virginia, and about 20 other representatives have introduced HCON Resolution 40, which calls for stopping participation in agencies working to build a North American community. Legislatures in at least 18 states are considering similar resolutions. Still, officially, both Congress and the executive branch deny there's an effort to create a North American community. Interestingly, before there was a European Union, there was a European community, which was sold to the Europeans as nothing more than a trade enhancement agreement. Now, an unelected European Parliament makes laws with which the Europeans must comply. The Council on Foreign Relations recommendations call for the creation of a North American interparliamentary group, which sounds very much like the North American Parliament. Now, the North American community now under construction is following precisely the same path that produced the European Union. Regardless of the denials and the ridicule dispensed by those who are either ignorant or duplicitous, the erosion of U.S. borders continues. The voice of the voters is ignored, and the public-private partnership between governments and industry, the beneficiaries continue to transform the United States of America into a bureaucratic state of North America. Proponents of the transformation may call it what they will. In reality, it is destroying the foundation of the American system of governance. It is placing in the hands of appointed bureaucrats the power to make public policy. The decision to allow Mexican trucks to deliver deep inside the United States was made by appointed bureaucrats designated by NAFTA. Neither elected officials in Congress nor in the states that must allow Mexican trucks to travel have a say in this matter. The deeper the integration, the more power is transferred to the bureaucrats. 6 weeks, by the way, after NASCO, big wheels leave their Fort Worth conference. The Freedom 21 conference in Dallas will teach hundreds of grassroots leaders what they can do to stop and reverse this national tragedy. And we will be covering that, folks. Now, And I don't know what a cacistocracy is. I'll have to ask Ed Vieira myself. He says it's exposing its hand. The publication, and again, we're talking about presidential directives here, the publication of National Security Presidential Directive 51, the Homeland Security Presidential Directive 20, on 9 May 2007, now available on the White House website, represents another major stage in the devolution of the United States from a constitutional republic to a Caesaristic police state. Inadvertently, though, it exposes the primary danger of the continuation of its own power that the establishment now fears. As well, it emphasizes the impossibility of any succor for the American people from the present two major political parties, and thus it should actually energize we the people into doing what is necessary to salvage freedom and prosperity in this country before things get entirely out of hand. The unconstitutionality of NSPD 51 is blatant. That little ditty establishes a comprehensive national policy on the contingency of federal government structures and operations, provides continuity requirements for all executive departments and agencies, and provides guidance for state, local, territorial, and tribal governments and private sector organizations in order to ensure a comprehensive and integrated national continuity program that will enhance the credibility of our national security posture and enable a more rapid and effective response to and recovery from a national emergency. That's in paragraph one. Now, to be sure, executive departments and agencies are parts of the executive branch of the central government, in principle subject to the president. But other than the Treasury, which the Constitution itself requires, all executive departments and agencies are originally creatures of Congress, not the president. Therefore, their very existences, purposes, powers, personnel, and continuity requirements must be the products of statutes. Laws, as the Constitution generally refers to them, not presidential directives, for which the Constitution makes no provision whatsoever. Indeed, other than ambassadors, other public ministers and counsels, and judges of the Supreme Court, the president may not constitutionally even nominate, and by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, appoint any officers of the United States except those which shall be established by law, or appoint any inferior officers except those whose appointment Congress may by law vest in the president alone. That is, other than the president himself, the composition, structure, and operations of the executive branch are completely subject to the legislative supremacy of Congress. Did you hear that, Congress? My critters up there in D.C., you have the power, and you're not exercising it. As for maintaining appropriate continuity with respect to these matters, Congress enjoys ample and elusive, that's a misprint. It's supposed to be exclusive constitutional power to do whatever is needed. In general, legislative powers the Constitution grants shall be vested in Congress, not to any degree for any purpose in the president. And in particular, Congress alone is entitled to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for the carrying into execution. Not only its own powers, but also all other powers vested by the Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof, including the powers of the president. Now, in this process, the president's only forms of participation are, one, to recommend to Congress's consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient, two, either to approve bills which shall have passed the House of Representatives and the Senate, or to return such bills with his objections. The president cannot himself enact laws. Instead, he must take care that laws be faithfully executed. Now, that's not what this thing does, folks. If you read it, this is an executive order he did this by. An executive order is not a law passed by Congress. Should these executive orders be thrown out with every president that's ever written them? I would pretty much say so, because that is the end round around Congress, around the Constitution, around the American people in general, folks. That's right. executive orders. This guy can pen all these executive orders he wants. Did it have any standing in law? Absolutely not. And I don't give a hoot and a holler if a mechanism has been set up, an executive order has been written, and it goes in the Federal Register and in 60 days becomes law. Bull puppy. It don't work that way. By the way, who was the first one to start and use executive orders? That's right, the card-carrying communist himself, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Or Rosenfeld was really his name. Even if Congress, back to his article, has been remiss in not providing for the necessary and proper continuity requirements for executive departments and agencies, the president cannot, on that account, take unilateral action on his own initiative. Now, America is not subject to government by default. In the absence of appropriate action by the constitutionally authorized branch of government, the country does not find itself at the mercy of the self-appointed leadership of some other unauthorized branch of government. Now, any such leadership is not an act of government at all, but instead is a usurpation at best and a crime at worst. If the president honestly believes that this country needs a comprehensive national policy on continuity of federal government structures and operations, he should present to Congress what he considers to be the necessary and expedient legislation for Congress to enact, and await Congress's agreement with his assessment. Now, moreover, while the United States remains a federal republic and a free country, who is the president to provide guidance for state, local, territorial, and tribal governments and private sector organizations, as NSPD 51 claims to do? Precisely where does the Constitution mandate to the president the role of universal teacher? Nowhere, because such an idea is positively un-American. For the most recent and ominous parallel, one must look at Mao Zedong, the great helmsman of Red China, whose Mao Zedong thought appeared in the little red book countless millions of politically zombified Chinese communists waved during mass demonstrations. Admittedly, the trip from America, even as corrupted as she is today, to something like Red China is the heyday of Mao Zedong. No doubt, still a long one. But as the Chinese aphorism has it, a journey of 1,000 steps begins, this must be a misprint, 1,000 li? Does that mean leagues or miles, whatever that means, begins with a single step? You've heard it before. So in humility and prudence, any president would do well to learn before he claims to teach, and therefore first to seek guidance from, rather than purport to impart to it, his fellow countrymen. Now, not surprisingly, as the supposed source of its authority, NSPD 51 employs an open-ended invocation of emergency conditions. Emergency means any incident, regardless of location, that results in extraordinary levels of mass casualties, damage, or disruption severely affecting the U.S. population, environment, economy, or government functions. One should notice how, as the breakup crisis approaches, that the appeal to the emergency alone no longer suffices, and politicians come to employ increasingly hysterical adjectives. Today, catastrophic emergency, tomorrow perhaps apocalyptic emergency. As if the degree of power to be seized depended only upon the draftsman's facility with a dictionary rather than upon his knowledge of the Constitution. As I've explained in previous commentaries, emergency powers are bankum. The new twist is NSPD 51 is that some catastrophic emergency supposedly could occur outside the United States or in some other country entirely, or it could involve the failure of foreign banks, which is severely would affect the United States and its economy. Or it could be claimed consequence of supposed global warming or some other natural condition that might severely affect the U.S. environment. Now, in virtue of these cataclysmic threats, NSPD 51 then asserts a breathtakingly unprecedented presidential power. Enduring constitutional government means a cooperative effort among executive, legislative, and judicial branches of the federal government coordinated by the president as a matter of comity, not comedy, it's comedy, C-O-M-I-T-Y, with respect to the legislative and judicial branches, and with proper respect for the constitutional separation of powers among the branches to preserve the constitutional framework under the nation is governed and the capability of all three branches of government to execute constitutional responsibilities and provide for orderly succession, appropriate transition of leadership, and the interoperability of the national essential functions during a catastrophic emergency. Now, needless to emphasize, NSP 51 does not identify where and how the Constitution licenses the President to coordinate cooperative efforts among the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of the federal government. But the very claim to do so exposes the substance, or perhaps more descriptively, the absence of the proper respect for the Constitution and the separation of powers. For if the President will himself coordinate these cooperative efforts, presumably Congress and the judiciary must accept, accede to, or acquiesce in his coordination. Certainly all three branches cannot coordinate each in its own idiosyncratic manner. Neither can each of these three branches this is hard to read because there's not an S here. Go its own way and still coordinate with the others. Now, one must lead and the others must follow. Now, the NSP 51 states that it is the policy of the United States to maintain a comprehensive and effective continuity capability composed of continuity of operations and continuity of government programs to ensure the preservation of our form of government under the Constitution and the continuing performance of the national essential functions under all conditions. Yet it also provides that the continuity requirements shall be incorporated into daily operations of all executive departments and agencies. Of course, the verbal limitation to executive departments and agencies is necessitated by its being a presidential directive, which even if constitutional cannot apply any other branch of the general government. But how then is the policy of the United States to maintain a comprehensive and effective continuity capability composed of continuity of operations and the continuity of government programs to be achieved for Congress and the judiciary? And how is the preservation of our form of government under the Constitution and the continuing performance of national essential functions under all conditions to be achieved without them? Or in the minds of those who drafted NSPD 51, does only the executive branch count anymore? What purpose will be served by preserving the continuity of the executive branch alone, while the discontinuity or chaos grips the legislative and judicial branches, except perhaps the purpose of creating the conditioned precedent for an overarching and overreaching executive dictatorship, or should we say decidership, operating under some species of martial law? Indeed, one need to not be suffering from terminal paranoia to deduce exactly this intent from the assertion in the NSPD 51 that the president shall lead the activities of the federal government for ensuring constitutional government. Not just the activities of the executive branch, but the activities of the federal government as a whole. Thus, the separation of powers, Congress's power to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper, and the president's own duty to take care the laws be faithfully executed, are submerged in das Fuhrerprinzip, the leadership principle. And every historically literate person knows where that has led in the past. I have one question here. If this guy tries to pull this off, does he have eyes in the back of his head? Because I know that there are people still serving in government that love this government enough that if I were George, I would start growing eyes in the back of my head. Because God knows what's going to happen to this guy. He tries to pull this off. I don't think his life's going to be worth spit. That's not a threat. That's a prediction. Most of the rest of the NSPD 51 consists of a table of bureaucratic organization and duties that might form the kernel of a reasonable plan for maintaining the continuity of the executive branch, if submitted to Congress, for incorporation into the necessary and proper law. Mandated directly by the president, however, it is usurpation. And if allowed to stand by Congress, it will mark a giant step in the systematic destruction of a constitutional government in this country and its replacement by a brown-shirted Caesarism. Caesarism, by any color, though, is certainly not the primary fear of the people who drafted NSPD 51. The document lists a number of concerns, and to wit, the following national essential functions are foundation for all continuity programs and capabilities, and therefore sustaining the following NEFs, as they call them, NEFs, shall be the primary focus of the federal government leadership during and in the aftermath of an emergency that adversely affects the performance of government functions. Ensuring the continued function of our form of government under the Constitution, including the functioning of three separate branches of government. B, and this is their list, providing leadership visible to the nation and the world and maintaining the trust and the confidence of the American people. If that's the case, George, just leave right now, because you're not providing leadership visible to this nation or anybody else on this planet, for God's sakes. Point C, defending the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and preventing or interdicting attacks against the United States or its people, property, or interest. Maintaining and fostering effective relationship with foreign nations. And again, George, yeah, you're communicating with people at the point of a barrel. Protecting against threats to the homeland and bringing to justice perpetrators of crimes or attacks against the United States or its people, property, or interests. F, providing rapid and effective response to and recovery from a domestic consequence of an attack or other incidents. Yeah, how did you do with Katrina? I rest my case. G, protecting and stabilizing the nation's economy and enduring public confidence, its financial systems, and H, providing for critical federal government services that address the national health, safety, and welfare needs of the United States. But surely no one can believe that the present administration is interested in the slightest degree in ensuring the continued functioning of our form of government under the Constitution, or it would not be promoting the North American Union. In defending the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, or it would not be harboring neocons and other dangerous subversives in public office. In bringing to justice perpetrators of crimes or attacks against the United States or its people, or it would not be demonizing patriots who justifiably find the official explanation of 9/11 as unsatisfactory as the official fable that Lee Harvey Oswald, acting alone, assassinated President Kennedy. Or in maintaining the trust and confidence of the American people, or would not have to be persisting in policies that have caused George W. Bush to be widely condemned as the worst president in American history, at least so far. Similarly, no one can believe that the present administration is interested in the slightest degree in maintaining and fostering effective relations with foreign nations, when almost its every initiative in foreign policy is directed at denouncing, threatening, subverting, attacking, or occupying any nation that refuses to toe the globalistic line emanating from the disgrace of Colombia. So too can anyone expect rapid and effective response to and recovery from the domestic consequences of an attack or other incidents from bureaucratic apparatus that orchestrated the fiasco in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. And exactly how does the present administration expect the general government to provide for critical services that address the national health, safety, and welfare needs of the United States when, for instance, the Ponzi pyramid of Social Security finally collapses? Well, stay tuned for part two, ladies and gentlemen. When I get it in my hot little hands from Ed Vieira, it'll be passed on to you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
A message for all.